I'm rethinking some things. I'm at a place where it's always been mine to maintain balance, because I believe that there are many things that has taken place within the body of Christ where people are out of balance and they don't understand the balance. Usually it's the middle ground, usually it's the middle road, so that you're not extreme on one side or the other, but being at a place where there's an understanding of Scripture in light of what the other Scriptures are in fact saying. And as you might know, I had a journey for a number of years where there were certain things I was reluctant to teach on. And I was reluctant to teach on because I'd seen so many abuses in those areas where people would begin to use Scriptures and twist Scriptures to their own advantage and taking advantage of people and the like, and all of those things that had occurred and is in fact occurring within Christendom today. It left a bitter peel in a bitter taste in my mouth, and I found myself retreating from various subjects. And then just recently, and I would say these last few weeks leading up to these last few days, God has been having me to go back and revisit many other things that I was reluctant to address in the past. But for your sakes, for the sake of the growth of those of you that desire to grow in grace, knowledge of the Lord, then we must deliver to you the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God, because contained within the counsel of God are the opportunities that God has provided for us to be made whole. Now, mind you, one of the things that I had been studying on, I've been really concerned about this whole thing of sicknesses, diseases, and infirmities. That has been pressing heavy upon my heart, because our ministry began in power. We realized that, in fact, I've seen so many miracles. I've seen so many. If I had not seen them, I probably wouldn't be as convinced as I am today that God has the ability to perform miracles and to do mighty works. But the thing is, I've been exposed to it. In fact, God has used me mightily in the past. And then the question has always been, what happened? What happened? Why aren't we seeing the same today as we saw in times past? And I must be very transparent before you. For the most part, it is the fact that it has not been taught. It's not been taught as much as it ought to be from this pulpit. And then secondly, because we understand that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then as it is taught, then it needs to be practiced and applied on a regular basis so that we begin to, as the people of God, see those demonstrations of the Spirit, seeing those demonstrations of the Spirit and power manifest among us, and understand that's what true faith is all about. Faith is stepping out of our comfort zone, is stepping beyond those places that we will feel comfortable in, and then stepping out on the Word of God and coming to the place of recognizing and realizing that God's Word is, in fact, truth. God's Word is truth. What God said then, He is yet saying now. What God did then, God is capable and able, willing, and ready to do now. So God has not changed. And when we question that, we are really questioning God's love. Does God love us less today than He loved them? Or is His love a constant within our lives? Does He love us as much as He loved those when He was walking the shores of Galilee? And I would say that God, the Bible says, He so loved. He still loves us, and He's still concerned about every detail, every aspect of our lives. So I'm going to be teaching some things as we go forward. I would venture that will build our faith so that we are not just accepting whatever the enemy brings our way, but we're at a place where we can resist the devil. We can stand against the attacks of the enemy and not just relent and say, well, these things were just meant to be, therefore I must accept them. But there are certain things, I like that prayer, St. Francis of Assisi, where it says to, Lord, give me the wisdom to accept the things I cannot change, change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. But today we're gonna jump into something that I believe that will help us on our journey. In fact, before I even get started, I want to ask you a question. Are you willing to take this journey with me? As I learn and as I press into God with a deeper level and degree of passion, I want to make sure that you're willing to take this journey with me, that you're willing to go where I believe God is wanting to lead us. Now, before I get started, now, it's going to cost you something. Yeah, there's a cost attached to it. It's going to cost. You know what it's going to cost you? It's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything. You can't hold back anything. You can't be at a place where you're holding anything in reserve. But it's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost your total dedication to the Lord in order to take this journey. But look at the benefits. Look at the benefits. Look at what is derived as a result of moving in this vein. Because there are many blessings. And I would say the Bible speaks of He has given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There are abundant blessings in store for those that are willing to place their total trust in the Lord. Now, I'm going to begin this. And like I said, I don't know how we're going to piece it all together. We're going to start talking about the storehouse. We're going to start talking about God's storehouse. Let's begin there, because usually that's a very sensitive issue, a very sensitive area, and an area that I've been very reluctant to address, but I'm going to talk about God's storehouse. When he talks about the storehouse of Malachi 3, you're familiar with, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, there may be meat in my house, prove me now by it, if I would not open up unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The storehouse. What is the storehouse? And when you talk about the storehouse, I'm looking at it from this angle, is that if we are requiring people to be faithful as it relates to the storehouse, we have to make sure that the storehouse is in fact a storehouse. That the storehouse is a storehouse, that ministry is not just activities that we are engaged in haphazardly, but we are in fact engaged in kingdom work. We are engaged in kingdom building, that we are doing those things that God would have us to do, because we realize that what God does when we align ourselves with Him, He graces us. It is His grace that is bestowed upon us so that we become distributors of His grace. This is what, I have a lot of scriptures to support this, but I'm just giving you an overview today, and we're going to go more in depth Wednesday and some other times, but we become distributors of His grace. In other words, the church then becomes God's distribution center. Now, what am I talking about here? I'm saying the things that are needful, those things that are needed within the world. I'm not talking about their wants, their passions, and their desires. We're talking about the things that are most needful within the world. We become the supply stations. We become the distributors of the grace of God. Because what can we do? How can we function? How can we make an impact lest the grace of God be upon us? We talk about the storehouse now, the storehouse. Let's begin there and understand what God has made available to us. What God has made available to us so that we are postured to access all that He has made available to us. Now, let's begin with, because we begin to look at, you know, the argument as to whether tithes are under the law, before the law, whatever. But I would say that tithing is a law that preceded all other laws. Because if you begin to look at it, it was when you go to the book of Genesis, you'll begin to see where Cain offered an offering unto the Lord. And then the Bible says that Abel also offered an offering unto the Lord. Now listen to this. Offering, an offering unto the Lord. This is in the beginning of creation where they offered something unto the Lord. They made an offering unto the Lord. The Bible says that Cain's Abel's sacrifice God accepted. But Abel's sacrifice was accepted. But Cain's sacrifice was rejected. Now, we begin to look at the principle. Look at the principle. Before you get into this legalism, let's begin to look at the principle from the beginning where God required of those that were to have authority over his creation, those that were to superintend over his affairs, he required an offering. An offering. He says, you make an offering unto the Lord. But then God has the prerogative as to whether he would accept that offering or whether he would reject that offering. But at the same time, both of them offered unto the Lord something. They offered unto the Lord something. And then the question is that what is this all about? This whole thing of offering unto the Lord. What is this really all about? God is saying, in essence, he is saying that this is an acknowledgement of the fact that God has ownership of all things and that all things that are managed came forth from him. This is what you're looking at. You're looking at the fact that whatever I manage, whatever activities I may be engaged in, I'm acknowledging the fact that I belong to God and that all things concerning me belong to him. Now, let me just take a little digression here and help you understand something. I was watching something. In fact, I watched, you probably seen Shark Tank. Have you seen Shark Tank on TV? And what happens, people come up with their ideas. They come with their inventions, all their innovations, and they begin to say that, first of all, the person interviewing want to know just how long they've been in business, how well they kept records, how did they manage their affairs. All of those things are very important. They're vitally important because what they're trying to do is appeal to one of the sharks so that that shark would be a part of their team. And they said, well, you managed well, you did such and such and such. He said, but I'm giving you 5%, 10%, whatever percentage of my business I will give to you. I will allow you to have that portion or percentage of my business if you join my team. And understand what they're really asking for is help instruct me, help to guide us, help to take us to another level in business. And then if you look at the success ratios of those, and some would even go out for two sharks. They got two sharks on the team. And what happens, and then you go back and look at the results of where they were, mom and pop organization, but then you begin to see this large enterprise where people are doing all kinds of great things, great businesses and all that kind of stuff as a result of having the right instructions and directions given to them by whatever shark that was a part of their team. I begin to look at that, and I begin to say, Lord, what lesson are you teaching me in this? What lesson are you teaching me in this? The Lord is saying, in essence, he said, you have managed your lives, your businesses, whatever engagement you might have been involved in, you might have done a decent job in doing it in the past. But there's always room for improvement. But then the other part is, it's a very well likely, if you continue to do business as you're doing, you're going to eventually run into a crash. You're going to fall apart. So what you need is wisdom so that you might be able to do business on a higher level, on a higher plane. So now, let's look at this. What are we saying in relation to God? God is saying, this is not legalism or anything else. The Lord is saying, I want you to invite me to be on your team. I want you to invite me to be on your team so that you're not just doing whatever you're doing. You say, well, I'm having success. I'm doing pretty good right now. Yeah, but how much better you might be doing if God was involved in your enterprise. If he was involved in whatever you may be engaged in. He says, so what you're really doing, you're inviting God to be a part of this. You say, Lord, I give you an invitation so that you may be a part. Now that takes it beyond law. It takes it beyond all the other arguments, because what it's really doing is an acknowledgement of God. We begin to see it all through Scripture, where we begin to see the lesser honoring the greater. And as a result of that, the tithe that was given is that particular acknowledgement. But here's the other part. Here's the other part. When we begin to take that scenario, let's say to a further extent, is that if you, and you understand the tithe is a tenth, if you invite God to be on your team, but yet you begin to get to the place you say, okay, God, this week, instead of 10%, let's make it 5%. Let's make it 4%. Let's make it 3%. In fact, let's not even deal with it at all. You see, and I'll catch up later on. Maybe I'll catch up. What will happen as a result of that, you see, now your trustworthiness is in question. Now, I'm being checked on this myself, because here's what God was showing me. He is telling me that all of these things work together. If I'm going to get God on my team, he's not just bringing money. That's where people miss it. He's not just bringing money, but he's a part of your team. Let me also let you know that this law works for sinners as well as saints. Do you see this? So don't think because you are a tither that you're saved. You can't be saved through tithing. But yet you can be blessed through tithing financially, but that doesn't mean you're saved. So I think that's where people miss it, is because they take that out of context, and then the focus for the most part is upon how much money is exchanging hands rather than understanding how much righteousness is really being produced within the life of the individual. So what happens, you can't get saved by tithing. Let me just clear this up before we get started. You're not saved because you're a tither, but you're inviting the Lord to be a part of your team. And then when you invite the Lord to be on your team, God is integral. And since God is integral, we must be integral as well. The Bible says, here's the promise, prove me now by it. Prove me now. I got a whole lot to say about this. Prove me now by it, if I will not open up to you the windows of heaven to pour you out such a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. He is saying, in essence, is that as a result of it, he said, I have made a promise to you, if you are faithful in this particular area of your life, that I will open up unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that you would not have room enough to receive it. He said, the blessings of God will come your way. We're talking about tangible blessings will come your way. But however, as you direct and devote your total life to God, you see, then we talk about the windows of heaven being open to you, so that it is not just in that particular area, but men. The Bible says, give it, it shall be given. That's a whole lot of scriptures. Give, men shall give into your bosom. You will have favor with God and with men. Now, There's one book I was reading called The Pathway to Wealth by Lynn Scott. I think his name is Lynn Scott. And he talks about the whole thing of having favor with God and man. How do we get to the place? Because my thing is, how do we influence individuals to come to know the Lord? Do you realize your faithfulness has a lot to do with it? Your faithfulness, your influence and your faithfulness run parallel. When you are faithful to God, it increases the sphere of your influence. Your faithfulness and your influence. It is really saying, in essence, is that when I align myself completely with God, when I have given myself wholeheartedly to God, then the grace of God, it rests upon me. So that when I speak, my words aren't just words, but they have power. There's potency to the things that I speak, the things that I say. And that's what God is saying. He says he wants your words to have potency. He wants your words to have meaning. He wants your words to be effective and productive. And I believe that the church, for the most part, we've cheated ourselves out of many of the blessings of God is because our yay has to always be yay, and our nay has to always be nay. In other words, what we say we're going to do, we must do it. And don't offer to the Lord lip service only, but offer to him your whole life, life service. Lord, my life belongs to you. Now the reason, and this is important and significant, we started with tithe and offerings. We went to Genesis at the beginning. And the reason that this is important, because the Bible, Jesus Christ says, where your treasures are, your heart will be. Where your treasures are, your heart will be. One of the hardest things in the world is for a person to be in a place where they can release that which they treasure the most. Whether it be your time. Now understand, these disciplines are very significant. Is because understand what happens during this time of pandemic, there have been people that have placed a premium upon their leisure time. They said, look, now I don't have to do certain things. I don't have to engage in certain things. And what you've done in essence is place a greater premium upon your leisure rather than upon that which God would have you to engage in. So now watch what he's saying in essence. He is saying now, what is it saying? If I am a part of what God is in fact doing, I give myself wholly over to what God is doing and what God is saying, and then my lifestyle expresses the fact that I'm all in. Now, let's look at this whole thing. I want to talk about storehouse a minute again, because in this, as we can look at the storehouse, I think I read this before, but I'm going to go back to John 3. 1 John 3, where he began to speak of the storehouse. He says here, to the elders, 1 John 3, 1, to the elders, to the beloved Gaius, who was a gracious host to Paul in Corinth. He says, in whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Now, let's stop there for a moment. And let's look at what he's saying here. I'm desirous of your having a prosperous journey as you travel from one place to another, but you have a destination in mind. You're not just wandering from place to place, but you have a destination in mind. He says, so as you're journeying, this is what Gaius was saying. I mean, he was saying to Gaius, he said, beloved Gaius, I want you to have a prosperous journey as you travel along the way. Having this destination in mind, and understand you will have an intermediate destination, but then you're moving towards your final destination. You see that eventually you're going to be with the Lord forever. But in the meantime, You want this journey to be prosperous, but you also want to be in good health. In other words, this word prosper, iodu, to help on one's way. Well, hodo, a way or journey as you're leading towards that particular end. So it is saying, now with that in mind, if you're going to have a prosperous journey, what are the things that could stand in the way of your journey being prosperous? What are the things? What are the things that the enemy will bring your way in order to cause your journey not to be prosperous? One of the things is this. We have to understand that the sicknesses, diseases, and infirmities are there. They are deterrents and they are hindrances to your having a safe and prosperous journey. Do you see this? Now, I'm not saying we don't get sick. I'm not saying that we don't have illnesses, that we don't have challenges within life. But what I'm really saying to you is don't be at a place where you just say, okay, that's well and good. But be at a place where you recognize the source from which sicknesses, diseases, and infirmity come from. You see, we have to understand the devil is the devil. And God is God. Is that simplistic enough? God is God. The devil is the devil. You see, the devil is the one that brings, you see, he brings sicknesses, diseases, and infirmities, and he places upon whoever and whomever he will. Now, mind you, don't be hard on yourself because you're sick. Don't down yourself because you're sick. But at the same time, don't accept it as being the will of God. You see, don't accept this being the will of God. Don't be down. You say, well, I must be sick. I must be out of the will of God. That doesn't necessarily mean you're out of the will of God because you have a challenge. But understand, there are these challenges that come in life. They come for various reasons. And when they come for various reasons, I believe that the ultimate is of such that God still wants you to have a prosperous and a good journey. So now, with this, as I began to even go through my own challenge just a few days ago, I didn't even stutter step. I didn't stutter step as a result of the challenge. But I recognized, I said, what is this thing all about? Why would it come now? Why would it happen right now? You know, my family had issues beforehand. I was the one to escape. And then here I am now having the challenge. And I said, the timing is almost like you could expect the enemy because of what I'm teaching. You see, the Bible says that immediately the enemy comes. You see, when the word goes forth, you are the Son of God, you are such and such, then immediately the enemy comes to challenge the very word of God. If you are the Son of God, you see the contradiction? If you are the Son of God, if you are who you say that you are, then why are those things happening within your life? But then what happens, you see, many folk took tail at that moment and began to run away. Well, that must not be because this thing really is. No, don't tuck tail now. Be at a place where you say, no, it is written. It is written. It is written. When you say it is written, here's what you have to understand what you're really saying. It's not based upon evidence. It's not based upon anything that you see, but it's what the Word of God says. It is written. What? Man should not, listen to words now, live by bread alone. Which means that bread is the sustenance of life in the physical realm, but it's not exclusive. Man should not live by bread alone. If man should not live by bread alone, then what is the key sustenance of life? What is the thing that preserves us? I wish above all that you prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prosper. But man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So our true sustenance will be the word of God. We live by the word of God. Now understand this. We mentioned tithing for one. We mentioned health another and all the other. But it's a whole different category, we say, to live by the word of God. It is not talking about I just get by and I use the word of God when I feel I need it. No, I live by the word of God. We must be brought to the place where it becomes the sustenance of our life. We live. In him we live. In him we move. And in him we have our being. So with that in mind, it is saying that what God is doing, he is wanting to cut you free from your dependencies upon other things so that you're brought to the place of living by the living word of God. That's where God wants us to be. That's where God wants us to be. So that every day we're living our lives by faith. The just shall what? Live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, it is not faith for a particular thing exclusively, but we live and our lives are enhanced by maintaining our faith in the Lord. I live by faith. We must live our lives by faith. It is saying, and I'm learning this. I'm learning this like I never learned it before. What does it really mean to live by faith? What does it really mean to live by faith? You thought that was faith because you trusted God for a new job. You trusted God for this thing, that thing, and the other. That was faith to a degree, you see. But understand, the faith to trust God with your whole life, that God can make you into becoming what he intends for you to become. You see, that's real faith now. You see, people can believe God for something, believe God for this, for that, for the other, but can you trust God to become what he intends for you to ultimately become? You see, that's what happens. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and understand what happens. We're saved by grace. You see, we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. So if that be the case, it is saying in essence that the starting point of our journey with God was to believe him with our whole lives and say, Lord, if you said be holy as you are holy, if you said in your word that these vices that I am challenged with, this attitude and these dispositions and all the other things that I'm wrestling with within my personal life, that these things are can be dealt with, and they've been dealt with by way of the cross, that they've been crucified, that I'm no longer a sinner, I'm no longer a slave to sin, I'm no longer a victim of circumstances, but I believe your word now, and understand this. So now the justified shall be brought to the place of manifesting that life. So that every part of your being, every part of our being, is expressive of this new life that God has, in fact, given to us. So you see now, we're talking about giving to the Lord, giving to the Lord. I didn't miss my point, giving to the Lord. But what are we talking about? Giving your all to the Lord. giving you all. Now here's what happens, and I know we're running close out of time, but people have a tendency of segmenting this thing and say, well, I'll take that, but I'll reject this. I'll take this part, but I'll reject that part. Let me tell you something. It's the whole picture. It's the whole console. You cannot, this is not a smorgasbord. You don't go in here and pick out and choose what you want to believe and what you don't want to believe. You can't just go. It's not going to Kroger's or to Publix, and you begin to go through the aisles and you pick out, these are the blessings. I just get a shopping cart and I just pick up this blessing, that blessing, and the other, and I'll fill my shopping cart up with all these blessings. And I say, and you're riding through with your full your blessings. I'm blessed. No. God cannot be manipulated. God is looking at, he's looking at the fact. He said, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let you have that. If that's all you're going after, I'll let you have that. But at the expense of character. You see, character is not being established in your life. But you got that stuff. Are you happy? You got your house, you got your car, you got all the stuff, you got all the trappings of success in life, but you don't have character. You don't have character. And what happens, you see, that's as a result of picking and choosing. But when you get to the place you say, Lord, I want to live by faith. I want to live by faith. Then I give my all to the Lord. Now it's closing. Let me just tell you how God's been dealing with me. I was thinking about, you know, I tithe. But then God, I had a check just a few weeks ago. Last week, really, I had a check in my heart. I said, do I really tithe? You know, because what happens, you know, somebody may walk up to me and give me $50. Or I may go somewhere and I might sell something on eBay and get $25. I forget about it. I said, well, that's just chump change, so it's no big deal. And the Lord began to chasten me these last few days. He said, if you're not faithful over little things, how can I trust you with greater things? So what it did inside of me, I said, I must be precise and specific, so that nothing passes through my hands without my giving acknowledgement to God. That's me now. That's me. I'm not imposing anything upon anybody else, but pardon me. But I want him to be on my team. And what it did for me, let me tell you what it did for me. It opened up, they said, the windows of heaven. It opened my, I would say, it gave me a keener insight of the glories of God. It expanded my horizon, because as a result of it, let me tell you how I feel now. I feel limitless again. I feel that I can dream again, that I can ask God for hard stuff, and that God will honor that. You see, because I'm looking back to the storehouse, this particular facility, this particular building that we're in right now, we have a mortgage on it. We have a mortgage. We've had this mortgage for 27 years. And I said, well, why do we have this mortgage? First of all, we have to go back, look at storehouse. What storehouse? How much ministry is going forth? I'm talking to all of you now. How much ministry is going forth from the house? And how can we enhance? How can we become even more effective in kingdom work, in kingdom business? How can we, you see, there are times we had a lot of ministries that we were involved in, but now God is saying there needs to be more ministry happening. It's not time to back off, it's time to go forward. So we want to be at a place where anything that has to do with kingdom work and kingdom business, then it's our business, and we want to be involved in it. We want to be involved in it. We want to, you see, those ministries. We want to be at a place where we take the limits off of God and begin to say, Lord, if this is something that you'd have us to do, we're going to trust you for the means to do it. We're going to trust you for the means to do it, the wherewithal to do it. Now, watch what we're saying here. If this building is a hindrance, then believe God to get this thing settled. Because as we begin to be faithful to God over those things that God would have us be faithful over, we open our hearts and ministry to God to deal with these little remedial things that's standing in the way. I mean, what is that? What is $2,500,000 or $3,000,000? What is that to God? What is that to God? And I said, if we are thinking small, and if we're not faithful to God, and if we're still thinking about ourselves and our own matters and our own situations, then that's a mountain, and we'll never overcome, and the enemy will keep you as a slave to that. But I said, there's too many people that are in need. There are too many things that are needful, and the storehouse now must supply those particular needs. The storehouse must supply the needs. Not only, we talk about local missions, foreign missions. We talk about making sure that those that are part of our ministry is cared for. Outreach. Look here, don't let the devil stifle our voice. But we got to get back out there so that the message God has given us is being broadcast, is becoming widespread, so that people will hear the message that God has in fact given us. It doesn't need to be hidden in a corner, but it needs to be shouted from the mountaintops. But you see what I mean? That's what we're talking about as we begin to engage. Some people think it's just church as usual. No, it's not church as usual. It's not just getting, okay, we had a Sunday morning service, and that's all there was to it. No, we are a ministry. We are stewards of the grace of God. How can we get the water to the deserts? How can we become an oasis in the middle of this desert? How can Christ through us be a shelter within this storm? It will require us giving our all to Him. Now, when we do this, watch what happens. Then God is going to cause increase. That's a promise. He said, prove me now by it. There's no one that's ever been faithful in tithing and giving of offerings, generous in their attitude towards God, that came up short. They might have tried it, but they cheated. When you cheat, you don't expect God to bless that which has not been done integrally. But what happens? He said, prove me. I'm closing now. When we say prove God by it, then we trust God in other areas of our lives. If God can be proven to be faithful in this area of our lives, then we can trust God for other areas. There are people, one book by Lynn Scott said that people start getting saved because they realize that none of these things could have happened unless God did it. They gave their hearts and lives to the Lord because God showed up in their lives and in their experiences. God began to manifest Himself among them in ways that they had never seen Him before. So the Lord is saying, invite me to be a part of your business. Let me be a part of your family. Let me in your family. You see, your household, you got some issues within your household, right? Things going on, and you just kind of figure out, how can I reach this one, that one, the other? How can I bring peace and resolve within my household? The Lord said, I'm at the door now, knocking at the door of your heart. Let me in. Let me into your business. If you let me into your business, you'll never regret it. Because when I get inside of your business, you see, you talk about a shark. He's not a shark. He's all wise, all knowledgeable. He says, I'll show you that there's just a few things shifted around, just a few things moved around, he said. And then all of a sudden, what you would have taken a lifetime trying to figure out, God can do in a millisecond. He can do it in a millisecond. So, Father, we thank you. I've given a portion of what is on my heart, but so many other things that you want to share with us to bring us to the place of exercising true faith and having real confidence in you. But, Lord, you're dealing with our hearts first and foremost, so that whatever we engaged in, we pour our hearts in it. So thank you, Lord, for this time together. And we pray, Lord, that even as we believe you for the grace for healing those that are infirmed, that through these signs and wonders and miracles, you will show yourself strong on our behalf. Lord, our desire is to follow your lead and the example that was set before us through Jesus Christ, so that we're not just doing it our way, but we want to do things your way. So we thank you, honor you, give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.